This week's shiurim have been sponsored by Family D. Rosenberg on the first year site of Rav Chasko Besser, Lelio Nishmes, Rabbi Chesko, Rabbi Naftoli Besser.
Kof Vov Shvat, Monday the 31st of January, by Rabbi Yaakov Moskovich, Amuna.
There's a tefillah which the Baal Oyla Shemaim, who's called the Meir Abte, I think it was one of the Talmidim of the Chayze, was mistaken to say on a daily basis, and it's brought down that the Tefillah Shleime was makbet seyit b'chal eis, v'us gula gedoyla. And the Tefillah starts, Ribboino Olamim, Yodati, ki hineni biyodcho levad kachoyme biyad ha-yotze. I know I'm only in your hands, kachoyme biyad ha-yotze, v'im gam es ametz be'aitzos v'sachbilois, even though I'll try very hard with all sorts of ideas, eitzos v'sachbilois, v'chol yosh v'sevel yamdu li'imini lo'shieni. The whole world will try to help me with whatever I'm trying to achieve, b'lis mechnafshi, to give me support, mi'balavei uzcho v'ezroscho ein ezro v'yeshua. Without your help, there's nothing. No one in the world can help me as much as I try myself, or anybody else would try to help me. If everyone has decided to stand up against me and try to cause me trouble, you, with your rahonas, you'll put your eyes on me and you'll help me. And the tefillah continues, L'chein ozreini ribono elomem, li'esenai pesuchois lirois tomid amitus hadover hazeh. We ask a tefillah ribono shel olam, it's very easy to say. It's a very nice minhag for people to say this tefillah, whether you say it in the morning, or wherever you want to say it. And it's easier said than done. Everybody talks about the munah. It's very easy to talk about it, and it's very easy to quote psukim about it. But there's a special tefillah, my eyes should always be open to see and recognize the truth of these words. What is it that we can try and do and work on ourselves, that we should taka be in a matzav that our eyes should be open to realize the truth? The ma'aseh that the tefillah in Shmoneh Esrei as well, and the brucha of Allah tzadikim v'al chasidim, the saying, Socha toiv l'chalaboitchim b'shimcho be'emes, we ask the Rabbeinu Shloilom to give the Socha toiv l'chalaboitchim b'shimcho be'emes, and then we ask, v'simchel keinu v'mohem. Now, the simchel keinu v'mohem can be translated in two ways. It could be translated as, I'm asking the Rabbeinu Shloilom, I want to have part in the Escha, the reward for all the boitchim, all those who are relying and abeteach b'shem be'emes, and their reward is obviously going to be great, and we want to ask the Rabbeinu Shloilom that our part in Gan Eden should be the same part. But the truth is that there's a deeper thing. We ask the Rabbeinu Shloilom that our chelik should be a part of these people who are boitchem b'shimcho be'emes. When we are in a matzav of boitchem b'shimcho be'emes, together with this comes simcho, together with this comes living with the Rabbeinu Shloilom, and obviously brings a very strong feeling of Ahavas Hashem, and hopefully Yiras Hashem. How do we actually work on this? The famous Mishnah in Masechta Soita, where the Mishnah tells us, Be'ikves of the Mashiach, all the things that are going to happen, Be'ikves of the Mashiach. And in every single thing that the Mishnah brings down, how the generations are going to decline, and there's going to be a difficulty with Yira Shemaim, there's going to be a difficulty with Chutzpah, there's going to be a difficulty with Panosa, Hayoi Kayame, and all that. And every verse the Mishnah finishes, V'onu ein lonu lihishoin ela lavina sheba shemaim. Let's translate these words. The Mishnah tells us what's going to happen be'ikvas of the Mashiach. In the times of Mashiach, in the end of the Golos, which we all believe that we are now in these days, all the difficulties that we're going to encounter. But va'onu, what does the Rabbeinu Shloilom want of us? One thing. Ein lanu lihishoin ela lavinu shebashemayim. At this stage of the Golos, the Rabbeinu Shloilom wants us to strengthen ourselves in the Emunah. Lemaise, it's becoming harder. The more a person encounters difficulty, and the more we see a lack of security in life in all different areas, whatever the matzav is, we see more difficulties rising up. in the matzav which the world is going through at this moment, there's a lot of insecurity feeling on the world. There's a famous, they say, B'Shem, the Heilige Rishon, that he said that in the times of Mashiach, the end of the Golos, it will be difficult to work on the concept of Emunah, as difficult as is it to climb on straight walls. And I always felt, well, you know, what is it? We're talking about Emunah, everybody talks about Emunah. We believe, we see the Faket, the Olam Mischazek itself. The world is just coming stronger and closer to Hashem. What's this idea that's going to be so hard to work on Emunah? But the truth is, we're not talking here about Emunah believing in the existence of Hashem. This is not the type of Emunah that's going to be so hard. I think that's becoming more and more evident in the day. But we're talking about the second part, which is Kiuboyrei Umanik L'chol Abruim. The Rebbeinu Shleilim is the Manik L'chol Abruim, and nothing else in the world can happen without him. And it's all about the Rebbeinu Shleilim, and there's no one else to turn to, and nothing else to try from our part to do, but to rely on the Rebbeinu Shleilim. We say by the Psukim of Halel, Menameitza Korosiko, Hashem li lo yiro ma'yase li odom, Hashem li bo'oizroi v'ani ere besoinoi. Now it's famous that a lot of these psukim we found are repetitive. Yeah. The way that it's I once heard was Hashem li lo yiro ma'yase li odom is not talking about the negative side. Hashem is with me lo yiro. I'm not worried because ma'yase li odom. What bad can a person do to me? We're talking here on the positive side. Hashem li lo yiro. It's only because Hashem is with me, that's why lo yiro. Because ma yase li yodom. What can a person already do to me? I feel insecure, I feel I need help, and I'm going to rely on this one and on that one. What can a person do? Toiv lach asoiz b'Hashem b'toyach b'odom, toiv lach asoiz b'Hashem b'toyach b'divim. We're talking about panosa, we're talking about health, we're talking about anything else. If we believe the emes that the Rebbeinu Shleilim is down dinoy shel odom b'rosh hashana and everything has been determined at the beginning of the year and nothing else, then whatever is happening right now is just a continuation and is just a bigger master plan which is working out. Everything has already been worked out. They say in the name of one of the Gedoli Yerushalayim, I can't remember now who it was, of the recent Gedoli Yerushalayim, that was going through a heart, he had a heart attack, and I think he was going through a lot of difficulties in the health. And I think one of his grandchildren was hearing him mumbling, and he thought he was saying Tehillim to himself, and he was bending down to try and hear what he said. He said, "I should have davened harder on Rosh Hashanah." By him, it was such a double poshet that what's happening now is part of the plan which was already been determined on Rosh Hashanah. That was a double poshet. I should have asked davened hard on Rosh Hashanah. Avada, we all know that tefillas can be mahapach gezar dina shel adam. There is an idea of being mispalel. But to know that right now, to go and ask, to rely on different things to help me, it's all been determined. Everything has been paskened already. The difficulty, what we see in our generation, and what it's so hard to work on Emunah, is that the Derech HaTeva and the Olam HaTeva has become so strong, and for every single thing there's an Hezber, there's an explanation, and the big people are philosophizing on all the time, understand why this has happened, why that has happened, is this a cause of this, is this a cause of this. The whole world and the atmosphere in the world is talking about the Odom, as if the koichi v'oitzim yodi, as if everything is determined by derech hateva, by things which are happening b'day odam. And therefore, when we go into a matzav, a person is chas v'sholam, we have a person not well. Has he had problems earlier on? What was the cause of it? Yeah. Later, chas v'sholam, we hear a tragedy. Was the person ill? What was the illness? What was he suffering from? A person is a difficulty in business. You know, what was his business all about? Yeah. Was it stable? Was he doing things? Was he gambling? Was he doing things which he shouldn't have taken? Had he taken moves which he shouldn't have taken? And so on. The whole world is busy talking not about Emunah, not about the concept that everything is B'day Shemayim. And that's the difficulty that we have to work in today's age. So the Mishnah Soit has already told us that all this is going to happen. And the Mishnah tells us, V'onu ein lonu li'ishan el alavine shebashamayim. There's one thing that we need to do. Li'ishan el alavine shebashamayim. And there's the famous Rambam in Hilchas Tanis that the Rambam says that anyone who says, when he sees difficulties coming, Tzoros, Areze Derech Mikre, a person says it's a Mikre, it's something that's a coincidence, by chance it happened, Areze Minoike Derech Achzorius. The Rambam says it's taking a Midah of Achzorius. And the Mefarshim explain, what's the Midah of Achzorius? You can talk it, a lack of Emunah, you can talk about anything else. Where does the Achzorius come in? And the idea is that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is sending us a message with every single situation. And the Moshel is a famous Moshel. Someone walks in the street and he's very engrossed in his thoughts, and his friend is talking to him. So the first thing, the person gives a click with his hand and he tries to call him, and the person's not hearing him. The next thing, he tries to tap his shoulder. He hasn't heard him still. He hasn't turned around. So comes a stronger tap and a stronger tap until the person suddenly feels it, and then he turns around and says, why did you have to do that? You could have called my name. And the answer is, I've called your name. I've tried to call you many times. You didn't turn around, so that's what I had to do. We believe that everything is a message min Hashemayim. If we would believe, Chazal tell us, Heche Yedome Yisurim. What's the Yisurim that we know that if Re Yisurim Boin Olav Yemashmish B'Ma'asov? What's the Yisurim? He puts his hand in his pocket, and he wants to take out one pruta, and he takes out two prutas instead. If we would live with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and realize that once when we took, put our hands in the pocket and something else came out, this is not by chance. This is because a message from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, then nothing else would have been needed. We've got the message, we turn to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and so on. It's only when this happens, then the Och comes. Yeah, what a Shlemazel I am. And then he goes the next one. Okay, so you're the Shlemazel, I have to tap you a bit harder. Until the person realizes that it's only the Rebbeinu Shel Olam calling him. In the past few weeks, we've gone through Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the way the Yidden went through the Mon, Aseres HaDibrois, Parshas Mishpotim. I can't remember right now who it was from. In Parshas B'Shalach, the Pasuk starts, V'Yibeshalach Paris Ha'om, V'loi Nocham Alekem Derech Es Pelishtim Ki Korev Hu, Ki Om Alekem Pani Nochem Ha'om, B'Rois Ha'mochom V'Shavu Mitzrayim Ha'om. Rebbeinu Shem didn't want to take them the short way, because Rebbeinu Shem was worried if they're going to see him a Chomer, they're going to want to go back to Mitzrayim. And the questions arise. First of all, we all know that taking them the longer way didn't really help, because every time they even encounter difficulties, every single time, it comes up, Zochani Esadogo, yeah? Hamibli in Kvorim Mitzrayim, why did you take us out, and so on. So the concept of even trying to go back was anyway there. The second thing is trying to understand Klal Yisrael at that time. They've been in Mitzrayim for 210 years. For 86 years, that's the minimum shitter, they were suffering terrible. They couldn't take it. And all of a sudden they go out of Mitzrayim, and all of a sudden they feel comfortable, they're pining for it, they're talking about the good old times in Mitzrayim. What's the idea of it? The Sforim say that the Yidden in Mitzrayim were b'chinas avdus. They were enslaved. Now, a slave has got a very, very difficult part in his life. He's not his own brother boss. He's not his own boss. He can't decide whatever he wants to do. He's totally, totally dependent in his odoin. In the master, whatever the master is going to decide to do for him, whatever the master is going to give him, and whatever the master is going to demand him, that's what he's going to have to do. But there's one thing which an Eved has. That he also knows that he can rely totally on his Odin. If the Eved knows that he's working hard and the Odin wants him as an Eved, he's going to support him, he's going to feed him well, because he wants him to be fed well, he wants him to be able to work, he's going to look after him. So the Eved builds up a dependency, knowing that one thing I don't have to worry. He looks out in the street and he sees this person running out of shul going to business, this person is talking about business, and he thinks to himself, look, they have to work for themselves. I've got none of these problems. I know I come home, I've got my breakfast laid for me, so it's not the best breakfast. I've got everything laid out for me, I've got where to sleep, I don't have to worry about paying a mortgage, I don't have to worry about anything. It's all work to me. This part of the Avdus is something which takes us completely away of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. There's a famous story of one of the Friedige Belzerov, Reb Sochadoiv, he had a son, Reb Moch, the Bilgerayrov, is the father of the Belzerov today. He was a gewaltige Masmid and a gewaltige Ilui as a Bocha before the war. He was married before the war already. And there was a Shidduch suggested for him from one of the Chassidus, which were famous for the very, they had Toire Gudulu Bamokamech, and it's known where it was as well. And his father said, I don't want to do this shidduch. I want my son to get up every morning by Moidani and think that he has to turn to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, where his bread is going to come from. I don't want my son to wake up in the morning and feel he's got a big naven and everything is sorted out. This concept of Avdus, the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, they were taken out of the first part of Avdus. Yes, they all felt happy, all of a sudden they felt freedom. They didn't have to work, they were crying for this. Where did the Rebbeinu Shel Olam take them out? Into the Midbar, into the desert. They had nothing in front of them. The first 30 days, they were reliant on the shiraim of the matzah, which made absolute with lemala mederech hateva. No place for security to run away in times of danger. They felt very, very, very vulnerable. And at the first time they felt vulnerable, all of a sudden they remembered this one thing. You know, we lived in Mitzrayim, we suffered, it was hard. But we never had to worry about these things. We never had to feel that we're going to have to defend ourselves. We never had to feel or worry about this. And the Rabbi Nishlein knew, it's too close, v'shavu Mitzrayimo. Meaning, it doesn't mean the way was too close. The Rabbi Nishlein wanted to take them a long way. The Rabbi Nishlein knew that he's going to have to take Klal Yisrael before going into Eretz Yisrael through a procedure where they're going to have to wean off from this feeling of relying totally on people and relying and feeling that this is the ultimate success and the ultimate best thing to hope for, that someone is going to defend me and they should be b'teyach b'shem. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam took them a yasef lekem esam derech midbar yamsuf. And the evening comes, the first time by the yamsuf, they all started screaming. And that was the first test that the Eden went through. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam told them, now is the time where the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is going to show you open nisim, oisos and moifsim, that you should see it's not the Mitzrayim, it's not people, it's toiv lachasois b'Hashem. Had the Yidden learned the message at that time, they would have been able to go into Eretz Yisrael after Matan Torah, they would have been able to go into Eretz Yisrael straight away. But unfortunately, they didn't learn the lesson. And the next time they encountered difficulty, it was the same story. In Mora, they didn't have water, they were complaining again. So they needed another nes, and another nes. So I'm saying, it went so far, where it became, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam saw and told Moshe Rabbeinu, that this generation has been in Mitzrayim, it's been so embedded in them, this concept of relying on people, that these people will not be able to come into Eretz Yisrael. Because now is going to be the time where the Yidden are going to get their own part of it. So the first time where the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is giving everybody a lamanucha ve lanachlo, ish tachas gafnoi ve ish tachas ta'inosoi. And the danger is going to be that we're going to feel too secure that they've got their own things. They're going to rely on koichim v'etzim yodi. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted that before they go into Eretz Yisrael, they should know that with all that you're going to have to do your own work and your own work, to know that it's all b'yad Hashem. So they had to go 40 years in the Midbar. And the whole Dor Mitzrayim had to stay in the Midbar. And it was only the next generation that they didn't feel this in slavery in Mitzrayim so much. And they were able to see that it's all the to look at all the Nisim and to realize that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has shown them enough that who we have to rely on and who runs the world and so on. And then they'll be able to come to Eretz Yisrael. And so the interesting thing is, we find many, many times in the Chumash that the Yidden complained, and sometimes their nisim were shown, and sometimes they were punished. We never find in the Pasuk that the Yidden actually did teshuva, or they actually realized that they've done something wrong. And that's why the Chet was not, they had to stay further and further. The last time we find it by Pashas Chukas, by the story of the Nochash, when the Yidden complained, and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'sim oisa hanes, v'hoyu kol hanoshech v'ro oisa v'choy." You look up at the snake, and the Mishnah asks us, "V'chi nochash meimis, anochash mechaye?" What's this idea? The nochashim, the snakes were killing them, and then they have to look up at the nochash, and they would stay alive. And the Mishnah tells us, "Eloi meloch," that they should be mishtabdim libom la'avi and shabashamayim, realize and pick up the eyes and realize who they have to really rely on to. And at that time, Klal Yisrael came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, Chotonu b'Hashem uvoch. That was the time when they actually told Moshe Rabbeinu, Chotonu, we realize now, we sinned. The whole idea in our mindset that we're complaining and we feel that this vulnerability is a lack, is a problem for us. The fact that lack of security is a problem for us, and we need to go back and we need to complain about the old times. That's chatanu. And after that, we never find again that we even complained about Mitzrayim, and that's when they were ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. That's why the Eden had to go through the whole story of the mom. The mon was a time the Rebbeinu Shem gave them mon men hashamayim to show them. Mon is the idea of showing them panosa, how panosa works. I heard one of the sforim, the after kasha, it says in the medrash that the Rishoim, the tzaddikim, got the mon by the doorstep. The Beinanim had to walk a bit further down. The Rishoim had to walk mechutz lamachneim. And someone asked a question: if these people were Rishoim, he saw his next door neighbor was a tzaddik and he had the money, so what stopped him from going there and taking part of the money, going home? I'm not talking about tzaddik, we're talking about Rishon. It was so obvious in the mon that every day the same old story, the tzaddik finds it here, and the Rosh sees all his neighbors are finding it and he has to go far away. He says, we have to say that by the mon, because it was so evident and it was so this, that there's that everybody realized where it's coming from, that it was practically impossible to take someone else's thing. Whether they didn't see it, or whether if they took it, it disintegrated, nothing remembered it, the Yidden learned very, very quickly that there wasn't a possibility. And the message for that is that even when they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and it's going to be Ishtachas Gafna v'Ishtachas Tainosoi, and someone else is going to open a competition, and you're going to feel that the person is taking away yours, it was all a message that the Yidden had to go through, a procedure they have to go through, to realize that there's no concept someone can take away yours. That's practically impossible. Whatever is yours, whatever was meant to be yours, is going to remain yours. We see last week in the parsha, straight after Matan Torah, ve'ela ha-mishpotem ha-shatosim lefneihem, ki sikna eved ivri. And what do we see by eved ivri? A person decides he wants a slave. He needed a worker for him. He pays a lot of money. And all of a sudden, after buying him, he realizes, he takes out Shulchan Aruch, and he realizes, ha-koine eved la'atzmoi, ki koine odoy la'atzmoi. In no way is this a slave. From now on, every single thing at home has to be shared with this eved. If I ever don't have enough, I have to give it to him first. He's married, he's got a wife and children. Yeah? You have to support the wife and the children. They don't have to work for you. You have to support them. It ends up he's paying out more money than he's bought. Yeah? Whatever type of work he wants to give to this Eved, you have to check it out. If it's any jobs that's beyond the feeling of dignity, you can't give it to the Eved. And then we see that he doesn't want to go out. They had to make a hole in his ear. And the famous Rashi says, why is the oizen, the ear, being punctured more than all the other evorim? Because oizen zi sheshomo ba'asinai kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. If he sells himself, he gets punished for this fact that he went and he mocha atzmoi against Kli B'nai Yisrael Avodim. And the kasha is ever older than us. If that's the case, then this should have been done to him straight at the first minute when he goes into heaven. What's all of a sudden now? And the answer is the same chat. The Eved, when he went into this, he wasn't looking, he needed panosa. He didn't have any panosa, so he thought that's one way of making a panosa. Making a panosa, that's not the problem. As long as you realize that's not what's coming. All of a sudden, he lives by the Odin's home, and the Odin from his chiyuvim has to look after him like a king, and he gets used to it. And all of a sudden, he starts thinking, "Oh, that's good. I don't have to worry about my panosa anymore. I don't have to worry. I have tias adoini." What all of a sudden, who likes an Odin? Have you ever had someone who's enjoying his master? What part of the master is he? He's not enjoying the part that the person is making him work. He's enjoying the part of all the other things, benefits that he's gaining from this. At that moment, that's when he's going against the point of Kili b'nei Yisrael Avodim. The concept of Avodim, which he didn't want to believing that everything comes that it's kedai to be dependent on human, on people. That's the thing that the Rebbeinu Shem was took you out. Anoich Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzeseichu Mebeis Avodim. And after that it comes, Kili B'nei Yisrael Avodim. I want you to know who to turn to in the right moment, in the moment of need. All of a sudden you feel you've become too comfortable, you enjoy this part, so you're forgetting the point of Kili B'nei Yisrael Avodim. And at that time, we have to give it in. Coming back to the first point, believing and knowing that it's all been determined in Rosh Hashanah. So we talk about Ve'ela Meshpotim Ashetosim Lefneim. We look into Dine Torah, last week in the Parsha, the Eved Ivri, sometimes there's a feeling that, according to our understanding, it doesn't really make sense. Maybe it's not even always fair. I know I have a dispute with someone else in business, and I know 100% that I'm right. And I know that he also knows that I'm right. But we go to the Torah, and I know that the other one is taking advantage of the Alocha, Mitzvah Machaveir Olav Araya. And a person turns around to me and they ask me, do I have a proper proof, Edom, whatever it is, and I haven't got. What's the Psach in Alocha? He loses the Torah. And the person goes out of business and he feels convinced. How can that be? How can I read the Torah passing that way? In Kesef Talves Ami, it's a mitzvah. You have to lend money. Fine. I've worked hard for my money. Someone else comes to me and asks me for an alvor. He comes to me, he wants to borrow some money. And it comes the day of paying, and the person is not paying him. L'sir l'kenoshe. I mustn't remind him. The whole aloch is, I mustn't even pass him in the morning and greet him if he's going to feel that that's why I'm trying to send him a message. L'sir l'kenoshe. Comes Shmita, v'ashli es teshmeta nanatashka. Forget about everything. Where's the fairness? We would have thought that the Torah is no more fair than anything. But the truth is that we know that the mishpat of a person is a noisah shel odom ketzuvim lo mi rosh hashanah ad rosh hashanah. It's all been determined from the beginning of the year. If you go to the Torah, the idea of the Torah is not necessarily to decide who is right in this case and who's wrong in this case. It's part of the Torah, how the Rabban Shem ran the world and how it's been determined at the beginning of the year. So if, chas v'shalom, a person, it was death in the beginning of the year, that person should lose some money. So he's gone to the Torah, and he's listened to Beis Din, and all of a sudden, for the fact of knowing, and he feels it's not fair, and he's been mekayim a mitzvah of loisasim in aderech asher yigid al choluyim and asmoy, listening to Beis Din, he's got a mitzvah. He's got a mitzvah for the yisurim that he's being has to go through of going of the, losing his money. And then he sees the other person winning the money, gaining the money, and he thinks, how can that be? That was the shet for him. Everything has got a bigger plan. Everything is decided from before. Ve'ele ha-mishpotim ashetosim lefneim. What's the ha-mishpotim? Who's spoken about mishpotim beforehand? She says, ele mishpotim. These are mishpotim. What's ashetosim? Rashi is really talking about it. What's ashetosim? Ashetelamdim. You should teach them. We're talking about ele ha-mishpotim. The one she tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you've all learned, the whole procedure of the month is to realize it's all B'yad Hashem. There's all a master plan, it's all pre-planned and everything. Do you know how it's going to work? You think to yourself, how is that going to work? A person sees himself successful in business and Baruch Hashem, he's got a very, very, everything is looks secure and everything. How is that ever going to work? Ve'ele ha-mishpotim, these are the mishpotim that were destined on the Rosh Hashanah. Do you know how it's going to work out? Asher Tosen, this is the way you're going to put it down for the Yidden. I'll show you how it's going to work. It's going to work through a whole alochas of Dine Torah, which you're going to get a mitzvah. Hashem rotza kodesh poruch hi lezakos es Yisrael, leficha chir b'lehem Torah mitzvahs. So from all these things, you're still going to gain Torah mitzvahs as well. And all part of it is ashetosim lefneim. This is going to, how it's going to work out in the end, these mishpotim. And that is, I think it's the Alshich HaKodesh says, mishpatei Hashem emes tzodku yachtov. What's mishpatei Hashem emes? Should be mishpat. What's the tzadku yachta? It says the Rebbein Shem is two mishpat. And there's one mishpat which was decided on Rosh Hashanah. It was decided exactly how much each person is going to have throughout the year, and how much he's going to gain, and how much he's going to lose. But that's decided beforehand how it's going to work out. Now, how is it actually going to materialize? For that, there's another mishpatim. What's the mishpatim? The mishpatei haTorah. And if you're going to look at the Mishpatei HaTorah itself, you're not always going to feel that it's 100% fair. If you look at it in the smaller picture. But if you're going to look at it in the broader picture and believe that this Mishpat is connected to a Mishpat that was beforehand, it's Mishpatei Hashem Emes, Tzodku Yachtov. You know when you're going to realize it's Tzodku, it's right? When you're going to put it together, Yachtov. If we really believe, and we know, Ein lanu ele lishon ele laravina shebashamayim, we know that there's only one to turn to. to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Everything is destined beforehand. And whatever we see and whatever we encounter in life is not mikri, it's just because this person is a known gunner from beforehand and this way I fell into business with him. It's all part of a bigger plan. Then we're going to realize it. Sot kuyachtov, it goes together. And it's only through this emuna that we're going to have the koyach to go through all the difficulties. And together with this emuna, we gain a mitzvah of emuna, of yid gimel ekrim, and b'schis emuna, we were negali avaseinim emitzrayim, and b'schis ois emuna, which is very clear that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is testing us on a daily basis, we believe and we hope, as a Hashem, that we're going to go, together with a strong emuna, mekabel pnei Mashiach tzidkenu b'mehera.